When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. We have been asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, who do Giants fans want? And you say, want for what? Okay, well, here's the list. GM, head coach, quarterback. And by the way, let me throw another one in there, because John Mara should do the right thing and step down as team president. He's the CEO. He's the owner. That's fine. But you can't be in the band, Lucy. He should not be in the band, right? Like, because he don't know how to make the music. Let's be honest. All right. Is Sean O'Hara there? Because now it's saying he's ready. Excellent. Giants Super Bowl champion. An NFL Network analyst, Sean O'Hara, from an era when they could really play on that offensive line, joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, champ.
Max, top of the morning to you. Key, J. Will, what up?
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing it.
Yes, you are, and yes, you did. Oh, I missed those days. What are your thoughts on the Giants moving on from Joe Judge yesterday, Sean?
Yeah, tough day, tough times. It's been tough times. Certainly the last couple of weeks, but really the last few years for Giants fans. You know, it's – look, Key, you've been around this. J. Will, you've been around this. It's when people get fired, there's never a celebration. You know, I was in the building yesterday, and, you know, it's funeral-esque. And that was, you know, even before the news broke about Joe Judge. So, with Gettleman stepping down and with, you know, with Judge now being fired, it's – nobody's in that building celebrating. I think everybody is just trying to figure out, all right, what's next? And it does feel like, man, here we go again. But this one does feel different. I think the last time, you know, when Jerry Reese was released of his duty and Dave Gettleman took over, even though he came in and turned over that scouting room and got rid of Mark Ross and got rid of some people when he came in, it still kind of felt like, all right, this was a traditional move. And it really seems like right now, the way the Giants are headed, that there's going to be a little bit of a shakeup. And I think it's probably justified.
Sean, why do you think the owners, John Mara and Steve Tisch, changed their minds over the last couple weeks about Joe Judge's future?
I think for them, the struggle was, look, we think Judge is a good coach. And look, everybody, you know, I think when you look at what has transpired over the last couple of weeks, the thing that bothers me about all this is the amount of rage that has erupted from Giants fans, and not even Giants fans, but other fans about Joe Judge, about Gettleman, about the Giants, and just – you know, I don't know that they know everything that's gone on with the team from an injury standpoint and from, you know, the things that they've had to go through. But the outrage about Joe Judge, I think, is a good coach, but he's a first-time head coach. The guy just turned 40 years old a week or so ago. And you know what? He stubbed his toe a few times, and he went through some growing pains, which I think they were willing to accept, and they knew was going to happen. But I think the biggest hang-up with Judge was just the offense. He had no answer for it, and I don't even think they were that great when Jason Garrett was there, but at least they were competent. And when Jason Garrett was fired and Freddie Kitchens was kind of handed the play calling duties and handed the keys to the offense, you're not going to change the system mid-season, but things got worse. They went from the pan into the fire, and I think that's ultimately what the issue ended up being with Judge. For the owners, it was, you know, look, we don't want to fire him. We're looking for a reason to keep him. And the last couple of weeks, the way things transpired, and I think they wanted to sit and talk with him and say, look, if we keep you here, how are you going to fix this offense? You know, coaches, when they get hired, when they go, everybody's interviewing for the coaches right job right now. The Bears down in Miami, right, Jacksonville. When you go in as a coach and you interview, they say, okay, great, we're interviewing you, but we also want to know, who are you bringing with you? Who's your staff? Who's your offensive coordinator? Who's your defensive coordinator? Tell us who you're bringing to the table. I think that was probably part of the conversation with Judge before it happened, before they let him go, is how are you going to fix this? Who are you bringing in to help you? Because I don't think offense is his area of expertise, and, you know, for a lot of coaches, it's not. But that's clearly the issue, and was the issue with the Giants.
Giants Super Bowl champion and NFL Network analyst Sean O'Hara joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Sean, I got to ask you, so who do you think are some of the top candidates to replace Judge as head coach and Gettleman as GM?
Yeah, J. Will, this is a good question here, because I think, you know, if you're a Giants fan right now, and you know, I'm a former Giant, like, I don't know that the fan base can take a first-time GM that's going to come in there and, you know, like I said about Joe Judge, come in there and you know, kick some rocks and stumble a couple times because he's learning on the fly. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right move. I mean, I know there's guys like Scott Pioli that are out there that have been a part of championship cultures, have been a part of this, and they know, look, we know how this should work. We know what it should look like, and bring a different perspective in there. So, you know, there's parts of me that would like to see somebody that's done it before. You know, I look at it like this, you know, Keyshawn, Max, J. Will, you guys, tomorrow we're going to go play Augusta, all right? What caddy do you want reading those greens for you? You want a guy that's never been there before, a guy that's playing, that's seeing Augusta for the first time, or give me the guy that's been there for 16 years. He's got tattoos on his back of all the, you know, master champions of green jackets. That's who I want reading my greens, because, you know, I don't want to mess this thing up. So that's, you know, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. But I think the one thing that when you're looking at this, the Giants are looking at this general manager position, the communication aspect, and I think this goes for any team really, but the general manager, like, you have to trust your scouts, and the general manager has to be aligned with the coach. I look at what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done in San Francisco. Those two guys have been married at the hip. I look at what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have been doing up in Buffalo. Those two guys have been in sync the entire time. They've been locked at the hip, and I think that's the most crucial part in moving forward. Everybody's got to stand shoulder to shoulder and side by side in how they're going to build this and how they're going to move it forward.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you, Sean, about first-time general managers. And you mentioned Brandon Bean locked at the hip with Sean McDermott, along with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. Those guys all came together. They rolled in together as first-time head coaches and first-time general managers. Do you think that is the way that the Giants should go? Find a coach and a general manager that can align themselves together and go in to execute what the Giants think they want to do?
Yeah, and I think, Key, that's going to be a big part of this interview process. As they come in there, it's, and they're interviewing general managers, it's not just, okay, sell us on you. It's, what's your plan? Like, who would you target, and who would be your number one choice, or, you know, what are your thoughts on that? So as much as they're interviewing the candidate, I think they're also interviewing what are our options and what are your plans. And then, you know, they'll obviously look at that and say, all right, you know what, we know this guy has a great relationship with this coach. And so now we know if we get this GM, we're probably going to have a better chance of getting this coach. I think all of those things are going to play out over the next week or so. You know, and I think the other key with this, and it's, I don't know, this is just kind of my own perception on this around the league, but, like, we see so many young, like, first-time head coaches, and I know everybody wants to kind of find that next guy and that up-and-coming guy. Man, he, you know what, everybody's so proud of, like, you know, we found this guy, the diamond in the rough, and I know a lot, that's kind of the narrative for a lot of this, but I also look at it like this. Guess who's paying the coaches? The owners. Right, the money that teams pay coaches does not come from the salary cap. It doesn't come from the player side of it. So when I see all these first-time head coaches get hired by teams, I say, you know what? That's an owner saying, look, I'm not paying Bill Cowher $10 million to come out of retirement. I'm not paying Tony Dungy $10 million a year to come out of retirement. So you look at these young coaches and they're getting hired because they're probably getting paid less. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes that comes back to bite some people.
Yeah, and one of the things they have to do is identify offensive line talent like Sean O'Hara. By the way, Pat Flaherty was their offensive line coach. They were winning all the time. Everyone was playing together. Everything was great. Right, I look at Jeff Stoutland in Philadelphia right now. Giants need something like that. They need to find the Sean O'Haras out there, undrafted free agents who want it, wind up in the Pro Bowl. That's Sean O'Hara on the Goodyear Hotline. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
Hey, Max, Key, J. Will. This is from the heart, man. I listen to you guys every morning. I am the school bus for the kids in the morning, so I drive. We're constantly battling over the radio. They want Kids Bop Radio, and I'm like, no, I got to listen to my guys. So my day is not complete until I get the chance to listen to you guys, and I get to hear Key read one of those promos. You guys got to let him do more of those, man.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you, brother.
Love you, Key.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys.
I want to read a promo.
From the NFL to the college game.
Intercepted at the 21-yard line. And Keely Ringo bringing it back across midfield. Across the 30. Inside the 20. Ringo scores! That is a fitting ending. Nolan Smith, the sack. Georgia has won the national championship.
How about this university? How about these fans? This is a special moment for the University of Georgia, special moment for this team.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Paul Feinbaum with us now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. And guys, I jog every morning, listen to a reel of Keyshawn's promos.
You mean you want a $100,000 mattress?
He was like, let me take
I would like
back,
to find
Paul.
One
That's
worth that, yes.
Hey, Paul, does Georgia winning the national title, we were ranking where the head coaches in college football, and Key and Jay talked me into, he's second behind Saban now, ahead of Dabo. Does it change the perception of Kirby Smart?
Yes, and you guys know better than anyone that winning does that, and he was already up there, except you know he couldn't beat Saban, so it's like, back in golf 20 years ago, Phil Mickelson was great, but he couldn't beat Tiger. Once he did, he became a different type of personality. And I think that that's Kirby Smart. And he is so much like Saban. When he was an assistant at Alabama, we used to always joke that he was like Saban's illegitimate son because they were so similar, except in some ways Kirby Smart was a little more crass. I'll never forget. I was in the locker room at a spring game once. They let media, you know, be the head coaches, you know, some stupid thing that we dressed up in an Alabama coach's outfit. And this was a year after the spring after they won the national championship, guys. And Kirby was MFing. And I mean, you guys, maybe Keyshawn talks like this normally, but I'd never heard a coach. And I was thinking, this is a spring game, and he is blistering the team at halftime, and a guy tapped me on the shoulder. And I looked around, and there was Nick Saban. He said, let me assure you, I didn't teach him that. In other words, I'm proud that he's taking this that seriously. So I'm not surprised to see him be successful and to finally beat Saban, I think, will exercise those demons. And I think he has many more ahead of him, many more championships.
Okay, Paul, with that being said, I was going to ask you, now that Georgia's finally won a national title, do you think there's a chance they can win more titles in the coming years, and he could finally maybe land that big-time quarterback that will get him there?
Yeah, I think he can. And because, you know, we've thought he had that quarterback in the past. I mean, he's had some pretty good ones. You know, he had Eason, and then Fromm took over for him. And then, you know, remember, Fields never could really see the playing field. And then, you know, JT Daniels just, for whatever reason, didn't pan out this year. But the University of Georgia has everything going for it. It is probably the best college atmosphere in the SEC and maybe even in college athletics, period. It's around the corner from Atlanta, which is a major hub. And it's got a commitment to football that's unmatched. It's on the same level as Alabama. The only thing that Alabama has had previously is great tradition and Nick Saban, and you know, again, let's be realistic. Saban's 70 years old. You have to look at the calendar.
Paul Feinbaum joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Paul, I want you to take a listen to what Nick Saban had to say at the end of the press conference for both Bryce Young and Will Anderson.
I'd like to say something. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
You know, these two guys that are sitting up here, they're not defined by one game. These guys played great for us all year. They're great competitors. They were great leaders on this team. And they contributed tremendously to the success of this team. And we would not be here without them. All right? And both of them take responsibility for the loss. But both of them contributed in a lot of ways, in a positive way, to giving us a chance to win and a chance to be here to have an opportunity to win. So I just want to thank them for that and let everybody know how proud I am of these two guys.
Thank you, Coach.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Max, Jay, my favorite part of that was, can I say something here?
Like, of course you can, Nick. It's your press conference.
Can you imagine at Coach K's last press conference in the NCAA, he looks at the person. Can I have a word here to the audience? That's the personification of Nick Saban. As great as he is, he understands the moment. And he knows that stage is on him. And he knows you are defined by defeat as easily as victory. And it was very clever. On top of that, he also went on about how much he loved Kirby Smart and how much he was proud of him. Now, you can take all of that with a grain of salt. I will tell you, guys, that I'm not sure that relationship is anywhere near what Saban tried to make it out to be. But it doesn't matter. This is stagecraft. And the public, we are all gullible. And Saban understands that better than anyone, and I think, you know, he is not worried about the media in that room or wherever they are. He's talking to future recruits. This is, I will stand up for you, even when that rare occasion occurs that you happen to lose.
Yeah, and if you watch the video, too, the way he extended his hands and, like, had them. So on the one hand, Paul, he's saying, is it okay if I say something? But on the other hand, he is the puppet master for sure. Who are your top teams heading into next season, Paul?
Well, I hope you're all sitting down when I tell you that Alabama will be the preseason favorite next year. That is unequivocal because of the two players coming back, Will Anderson Jr., who I still think is the best player in college football, and only the Heisman winner, Bryce Young. And by the time we see the first game next year, Nick Saban and Bryce Young will have figured out which receivers are going to become the next generation of what we have seen there, you know, from Ridley to Cooper to obviously Devontae Smith and Waddle. I mean, there's just so many great receivers that come through, and the third and fourth receivers in that game Monday night just weren't up to it without your top two guys. So I think that's really the key. After that, I think Ohio State would be probably my next pick, and then keep your eye on Texas A&M. They play in the same division as Alabama, but they have just come off of a monster recruiting year.
Paul, when you talk about national championships and being number one next year in Alabama, how much pressure is on Ryan Day at Ohio State to win it all now that, you know, Michigan finally popped Ohio State?
Well, I think it was lessened a little bit by winning the Rose Bowl. I don't understand the magic of the Rose Bowl key. I mean, you're a Pac-12 guy. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten act like that's the most important thing in the world.
It's the granddaddy of them all,
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah, and it's the granddaddy of all is the reason why college football is so screwed up right now. But we'll talk about that when things calm down. But because of the Rose Bowl, we have this convoluted playoff as opposed to an NFL-like playoff, which would interest the entire country. But I think there's a little bit of pressure on him. I'm not going to go all in on Ryan Day because I think he really has done a phenomenal job. He's been in the playoffs twice. He's won a Rose Bowl. I think as long as he gets back to the Big Ten championship game, gets through Michigan and makes a run at the playoff, he'll be okay for the time being. But I also think Ryan Day is someone that the NFL covets. So that's a story I'm watching pretty closely as well.
I'm not going to let you just sneak out of here talking negative about the Rose Bowl. Why is the Rose Bowl ruining college football, Paul?
Well, for this reason, Keyshawn, because everyone is all in on preserving that time slot, the college football semifinals had to be played on a Friday, on New Year's Eve,
when nobody gave two rips about it, as opposed to the next day when we are on a Saturday when people are understanding and used to watching college football on New Year's Day. If you could move the Rose Bowl, you could have the college football playoff on New Year's Day every year starting at 5 o'clock, and it would play till the next game at 8:30. But because the commissioners of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten – and by the way, ESPN is party to this, okay? They have the contract. So, I don't think they could make anybody move off of it, but certainly – it would be nice to see a little bit of cajoling by the network, and as a result of that, the rest of college football and the playoffs are being held hostage, and that's that. And I'm talking about an expansion of the playoff because college football really needs that. And I'm not saying that Georgia and Alabama weren't the two most deserving teams; they were. I mean, that's obvious. But it would have been fun to have 3 or 4 weeks leading into that as opposed to that one dreary New Year's Eve day and then have 6 or 7 games the next day and then the following Monday night to try to get everybody's attention back. College football cannot compete with the NFL, and that's the position it puts itself in, and it ought to take advantage of its natural day. The natural day for the college football playoffs is New Year's Day. We all are conditioned to that, but because of you people out west, Keyshawn, in the Big Ten. We can't have that.
Paul, what do you mean by you people? Hey.
Out west. Paul Feinbaum is brought to you by
Dr.
Pepper.
I mean you people because it's sacrosanct. I mean, Jay Will, it's beautiful, the San Gabriel Mountains, but I've seen it 100 times. I want to see real games that day, not the Rose Bowl.
The college football season is over and fans are Let me say that again. The college football season is over, and fans are celebrating their victory. Crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, slap on a fresh coat of face paint, and return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Thanks, as always, Paul.
Appreciate you, Paul.
See you guys soon.
All right, buddy.
Key said one playoff team made a huge mistake with their top 5 pick. Is he willing to admit that it wasn't a mistake?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Bengals are in the playoffs for the first time since 2015, and we are thrilled to be joined by Hall of Fame tackle Walter Payton, NFL Man of the Year. 9-time first team All-Pro. The great Anthony Munoz. Good morning.
Gentlemen, how you doing this morning?
Good, Trojan. Morning.
Damn, man. You get intro music like that.
Right on, man. How you doing?
Good. Real good.
You get some tough intro music, man. That's tough right there. I respect that.
So, Anthony, the Bengals.
I tell you what.
Yeah. What's up?
Go ahead, Keith.
No, I was going to say, so the Bengals find themselves in the playoffs. What's your early thoughts of taking on the Raiders?
Well, first of all, man, it's good to have this team back in the playoffs. It's been a while. I think you mentioned 2015. Had a little run there with Dalton in the playoffs, but no playoff win. But it's exciting, Key. I tell you what, this city is really excited. You know, we had a good time for this this city with football. Of course, you know, the University of Cincinnati lost to Alabama, but they had a heck of a year, so that got some excitement. Not our Bengals, man. They, you know, they have a lot of talent. You know, Joe Burrow has been doing a phenomenal job, and I'm excited. I'm going to go down Saturday to the game, and you know, a lot of people. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of people. There's still some people that, you know, say, "Well, same old Bengals." I can't say it's the same old Bengals. It's a totally different team, you know, talent-wise, leadership-wise, and so I'm excited about them playing the Raiders. I think it's going to be an excellent football game.
What do you think it would mean to get a win on Saturday for an organization, and actually? Like this first win that they were having in the playoffs in 30 years, over 30 years.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to think that the last time this franchise won a playoff game, I was actually playing. That was a long time ago. Wow. And, but no, it would mean a lot, you know, not only for the organization, but for the city. The city is hyped. It's excited. But you know, I really do think, you know, some things are changing with the organization. They got some grandkids working, you know, with fan engagement and doing a lot of stuff with the legacy of the team. And, you know, they put together the Ring of Honor for the first time. And so there's a lot of new things happening. So with that being said, I really believe to win this game Saturday would just add to the excitement of really the youth and the new regime that's starting to take place with this football team.
How worried are you about the Raiders, Anthony? Because, like, I look at Joe Burrow and he's got it. And he's got his receiver, and they got chemistry, and they're killing the game. And even when they didn't draft, I mean, the offensive line maybe doesn't get enough credit, and they got a whole lot. They got a three-headed monster with a running game, and they have depth at receiver. But here come the Raiders, who just did the thing to the Chargers and Herbert, and they're kind of like the Bengals in certain ways. How worried are you about the Raiders?
Well, you know, Keith can say the same thing. Anybody that's played the game, you can't take anything for granted, regardless of how talented one team is. And I mean, you look at the Raiders; they're talented. I mean, you know, we look at Hendrickson on the defense. You got to look at Crosby, Max on their defense, and Waller, tight end. You know, Carr, quarterback. So they're loaded. I mean, you know, this isn't a team that's you know, going to come in under the radar. The Bengals have faced them already one time this year. You know, they did come out with the win, but again, you can throw that out the window and just watch the tape and learn from it. So even though, you know, you got Jamar Chase, who's amazing, and Boyd, and you got Higgins and Mixon, and you got Hendrickson and, you know, Sam Hubbard and all the it's going to be an evenly matched game. You know, it's playoffs. I mean, it's, you know, you got preseason and you got the regular season where the intensity is crazy. But now you got the playoffs. And if you can imagine just the intensity moving up that much more, it does. And so, you know, I don't think any one of these players on the Bengals are saying, "Nah, you know, hey, let's look forward. Who might we play the second round?" Now the silver and black's coming to town, man, and it's they're still the Raiders. You know, it's different faces, but it's still the silver and black, and Bengals will get ready and expect a battle.
Anthony Munoz, Hall of Fame, offensive tackle, Walter Payton, Man of the Year, 1991, All World, Everything Hall of Famer, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Anthony, when we look back at the draft and Jamar Chase, who had an historical rookie season, even though you're a former offensive lineman, I'm a former wide receiver, we both thought that taking Penei Sewell over Jamar Chase was the right move for the Bengals. I changed my mind now watching you play. Have you changed yours?
Key, I can say, you know, and it's interesting. So I went Penei, but then I have changed my mind to answer your question. But I look at Slater with the Chargers, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this kid, the starting left tackle, who a lot of people had rated above Penei, but I still have changed my mind. Seeing Chase in person and what the guy has done, I'm like, yeah, maybe I did want Chase, but I was just kind of spouting off to me. But no, I have changed, and I'm thrilled that they got Chase, man. And he has just been so much fun, game changer, so much fun to watch. And yeah, so I'm right there in that same camp. I've changed.
Anthony, Zach Taylor got off to a rough start to his coaching career, but he's had crazy success this year. Do you feel like he's going to be this team's head coach for a while moving forward with the season the Bengals are having?
I do. You know, and it's interesting because last week they played a clip of him. I think it was either last year or his first year. And he didn't plead, but he said, you know what, fans of the Bengals, just trust in our process. Trust in what we're trying to do here with this team. And there's going to be some pain going through it, but just and I've been able to see that as I step back and I look at the process. I mean, I think 3 years ago when he took over, there might be less than 10% of the guys that were here 3 years ago. You look at every position, and it's like they've added not only the talent but a new culture. Guys, you know, through the draft, guys that have been captains on their team, guys free agency that have been playoff experience. So I think he will be, unless something drastic happens. I don't foresee that, but I think Zach Taylor is a guy that's going to be here for a while.
Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the great, and I mean great, Anthony Munoz here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Appreciate you jumping on with us today.
Hey, anytime, guys, you know that. And you guys are great. My pleasure to be able to talk. Maybe next time we can talk, Key, a little Cardinal and Gold.
Yes, sir. Fight on.
Excited about what's the fight on, man. You take care. You guys have a great day. Enjoy the playoffs.
Nine-time first-team All-Pro is almost impossible to do. Key, could you imagine a nine-time first-team All-Pro?
And he probably got cheated once or twice out of it.
How is that even, especially at an important position? It's insane. All right, the biggest knock on Bill Belichick, the biggest knock on his resume, and by the way, it's not Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl without him and him missing the playoffs.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Giant Super Bowl champion and NFL Network analyst Sean O'Hara joining us.
Hey, Max, Key, J. Will. This is from the heart, man. I listen to you guys every morning. My day is not complete until I get the chance to hear Key read one of those promos. You got to let him do more of those, man.
Paul Feinbaum with us. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. And, guys, I jog every morning listening to a reel of Keyshawn's promos.
You mean you want a $100,000 mattress?
Save up to $100,000 on select mattresses. Well, save up to $1,000 on select mattresses. Figured $100,000 is a lot.
That's a hell of a mattress.
$100,000 mattress. I like the fact that people are listening, though, to my reads because I'm not a traditional reader, right? I'm not going to sit there, hey, Dr. Pepper. That's not. Have fun with it.
I think
loosen things up.
Wait, what does that mean? I'm not a traditional reader. Like,
you know how you know that
sports talk. You know how people follow the letters?
You know the sports talk radio read type guys like Max Kellerman? He does it with such a, everything is, I like to have fun, joke around, laugh with a little bit, send the message across. I think that's why people
I learned how to read late in life.
I like to try to follow the combinations of letters and the sounds they make usually.
Quarterback.
Yeah. You know, I think if
y'all just so corporate, man, that's what it is.
I think if Floyd Mayweather hears your read, he may like, why don't I put $100 bills into a sack and sleep on it? He'll sleep on I need to sleep on $100,000 mattress.
I was reading it so fast. I was like, 100,000. Wait a minute. That's not right. There's no way you can have $100,000. I bet you, though, there's a $100,000 plus mattress somewhere in the world.
I wonder how many dollar bills, what denomination, what number do you have to put in? To fill up a mattress, like is it fives, tens, twenties?
No, I mean, I'm just
how many
about
bills you need in there? No, I know it. Yeah. Listen, Bill Belichick has
speaking
no
bills.
Assistants left, right? As assistants? Well, I don't understand. Evan wrote something for me to say, and I'm trying to figure
Bill
it out.
Bill Belichick has no more assistants left as head coaches.
As head coaches, right? Not as assistants.
What?
I feel like allow myself to introduce myself. So Belichick doesn't, his coaching tree is bare, man. Like it's barren. Where is the fruit off the tree? Like it's just not there. None of his coaches or assistants are head coaches in the league right now. So we asked who has the best coaching tree among active coaches. And the first name you said to me blew my mind, Key. You said Sean McVay. And for a minute, as we were talking about it, it looked like 35-year-old Sean McVay had the best coaching tree in the league. But then we talked more about it. Who do you think it is?
Well, after we talked about it, it's probably Andy Reid.
Right.
Now that we think about it. Because Andy Reid, I forgot about John Harbaugh, Ron Revere, but Ron Revere kind of went through the Chargers, I thought, with Norv Turner.
Right.
Even though he coached with Andy Reid before. So he's like he's not really a branch. Maybe he's just
when we say tree, we're not trying to give you technicalities. Like, okay. Well, you I agree with you, in other words. In other words, it's not just like, well, he's on the tree because he was an assistant under him. We're talking about who came up with a dude, who was on the staff and was influenced by him and took that somewhere else.
I would say Harbaugh, Ron Revere, Sean McDermott, and David Culley was long-term assistants under Andy Reid. Yeah. And so probably a lot of their thought process and coaching style mimics to some degree Andy Reid.
They're influenced in some way. They're from that. Like, for example, when I talk about you speak Parcellian, right? Like you clearly, and it's partly you think alike, right? But you come from the same school of football thought. And when you brought up like Sean McVay, Jay, I find that so interesting because it probably is the answer, Andy Reid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that McVay is in that conversation, the dude is 35.
It still kind of just blows my mind because when I think about Sean McVay, I'm like, he's at the beginning stages of his career, still feels like. You know, like that tenure is something that's scary to think about, the longevity that he has in his space.
What happens, though, is you have quality assistant coaches that get plucked. And so now your tree starts to grow, and it grows and it grows. So
who counts for McVay?
Matt LaFleur.
That's a big one.
That's a huge one.
Zach Taylor.
Right, and that looked bad a year ago. It looks good today.
Brandon Staley.
Looks pretty good.
Solid so far, solid. Although you got to, toward the end of the
division.
Joe Barry, defensive coordinator with Green Bay Packers, who will probably wind up being a damn head coach in the next year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So you start counting those guys.
Yeah. It's a lot. And it's
and Pete Carroll had a nice one for a minute there, too.
Yeah. But McVay, everyone's looking for the next McVay. And so they started looking on his staff. And what's crazy to me is they took these dudes. They are successful head coaches in the NFL. They're young like him. They were on his staff. You could argue that he influenced them. But certainly, this is something you talk about, Key. You took them off his staff. The Rams are still good. McVay is still the coach of a good. So McVay is good. We know that. And his assistants are having success as head coaches. They're in the playoffs.
There's legitimately something in Sean McVay's Wikipedia page called the Sean McVay effect. That Matt LaFleur, Zach Taylor, Cliff Kingsbury, all these young offensive-minded coaches were hired after Sean McVay.
Not that he's off the tree,
but this Sean McVay effect that everybody's trying to find the next Sean McVay.
Well, you know why? See, you guys are out here on the East Coast, and I was on the West Coast a couple years ago when it all took place, and they started hiring these dudes. You touch Sean McVay, you got hired.
Yeah.
Because you was the, I don't know, the young, scruffy beard with the hair. You had that look, you know.
And offensive.
You know, that they looking for. So no, that's it's the truth.
And offensive play action.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's the hot, cute guy. We want to hire him. He's really smart.
The hot, cute guy.
That's what was going on.
You could add Nick Sirianni to this, too, and he's in the playoffs. Like a young, offensive-minded quarterback.
Scruffy beard, dude. You know, like the Max Kellerman look.
Yeah. That's the look.
Except you wouldn't have got hired,
this
Max.
That's just in.
No.
The Max Kellerman look sweeps the nation.
Everybody who touches Max gets hired. Yes.
But you know what's crazy? It's one thing. And there was a think about what we were all saying about McVay. See, they just want another McVay. Kingsbury, bad. Kingsbury looked like a good hire now. Not just because he had that fresh crib during draft when he showed that crib and in
got a lot of play.
Arizona. Oh, that was clean.
The way they built out the air raid system, the way they attached the running game to it finally with James Conner. I mean, it's the way he built the whole thing.
But all the air raid, because now I got to accept it because of Lincoln Riley at USC.
Yep.
So now I gotta get behind it.
That's what you get.
He is getting dragged, kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
The Cardinals run the ball more.
Lincoln Riley run the ball with his, though.
The Cardinals run the ball with theirs now.
Yeah, they did self-evaluation, and they had to go back and realize we're going to get fired if we don't run the ball.
But it's still –
it works.
Their philosophy remains largely the same. Of course, you have to tweak it and everything. But I'm just interested in this topic because a lot of criticism on the Kingsbury hire, a lot of criticism on that, oh, you're just looking for the next McVay. It's working.
Well, they've been looking for the next Belichick since Belichick arrived and won his first Super Bowl, and they've yet to find one. He's had about 10 damn assistants get head coaching jobs, and they all keep getting fired.
You know what's interesting? You would think defense is easier to imitate than offense, but in fact, it's the Belichick way that no one else can imitate. The McVay way, they seem to be able to imitate. It's exportable, it looks like.
Keep getting the wrong guy. You get the wrong guy, though. You it's easy to grab the assistant, but you're leaving everything else behind.
Yeah.
You're not bringing Willie McGinnis with you and Lawyer Malloy and Tom Brady and
not to
Deion
mention your
Branch.
Shadow advisors and stuff.
You're not bringing those dudes with you.
Oh, man, that just blows my mind. Andy Reid with the best coaching tree. Sean McVay maybe with the second best coaching tree in the NFL at the age of 35. But will they advance in the playoffs this year? Boy, Matt Stafford better, right? He better. KJM is back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.